Coming up on the season premiere of BYU football with Kalani Sitake, it's year two in the Big 12, and the Cougs kick the season off at home versus Southern Illinois. We're looking ahead to opening week with the coach and Jacob Robinson next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU athletics.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good evening once again, Cougar Nation. We do welcome you back inside Studio C at the beautiful BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah for our season premiere week one edition of BYU football with Kalani Sitake. We're live and on demand on BYU TV, BYU Radio, and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's first show of the season, we will preview Saturday's showdown with the Salukis as one of the best programs in the FCS moves up in class for both teams' season opener. Deep Blue will premiere with a profile of BYU defensive end Tyler Batty. Cornerback Jacob Robinson will be our in-studio guest as he kicks off his senior season, and we'll have a Q&A session with our audience members, the coach, and Jacob right here. Well, 30 years ago, yes, 30, he played his first game in a BYU uniform. 8 years ago, he coached his first game on the BYU sideline. Saturday night versus Southern Illinois, he will lead the Cougars into their 100th season of football. And to kick off our season of shows in Studio C, please welcome back the head coach of your BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake. My friend. And Hazel Haymooley, she's back this season. Well, I just dropped that number on everybody. You were a freshman 30 years ago.
Oh, you just told them. Nice.
Yeah.
I feel old now, but it was a cool time for me. I remember my true freshman year, and that was a really cool year. So just hopefully we can have the same kind of season that I got to enjoy as a true freshman.
Look at that.
Yeah, there I am with not so much white hair. And, yeah, 18 years old. So, yeah, it was before my mission.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. I had the honor of being able to play that year as a true freshman, and it's a lot of fun.
People look at the jersey number, and they say, I thought he was 34, but before the mission.
I was 23 in honor of the guys that wore it, like Vice Akahema, and it was a big hero of mine. And when I came home from my mission, I got to wear 34 for another hero, Kurt Covea. And so, I mean, I could name all the guys that played. I grew up a big BYU fan. I just wish I could change the numbers and honor everybody. I think Lakeh Haymooley already had his number taken, so I couldn't get 35, and 34 made a lot of sense. So that's how I would pick the numbers.
Kalani's got this encyclopedic memory of that kind of stuff. We were in the makeup room, and yes, we do get made up before the show. A little bit, just a little bit.
Greg more than me.
Yeah. I have more space to cover. We were in the makeup, and I mentioned the 94 season his freshman year, and he started ticking off game by game by game by game the result kind of all the way through the season. It came back pretty quickly, didn't it, to you?
It did, yeah, and it was, just a cool experience. Like I said, I grew up loving BYU from birth, and it was a dream come true to be able to play football for Lavelle Edwards and to play here at BYU and to rep the Y. And so those are moments that I cherished, and it prepped me really well to go on my mission. And I enjoyed it.
Which you served where, by the way?
In Oakland, California. And it was an awesome experience for me, and tough, but I loved it and grew a lot, and then came back and was able to finish up my career here at BYU with Lavelle, and was able to go out with Lavelle and his last year being, I was one of the, that was my last year, one of his captains, my senior year. So that was a lot of fun. I could probably fill in all the experiences and probably give some cool stories, but nobody wants to hear about that right now. They want to hear about 2024 season. That's what we're going to get to.
Well, the stories emerge throughout the course of the season.
They do, yeah.
Speaking of time flying, your ninth season as BYU's head coach this year.
Yeah, and I'm loving every second of it. And just, I've been really fortunate to be here, and I love the experience, and I think a lot of people ask me, well, is it difficult? It's hard to say it's difficult when I get to be around such great people and I get to interact with the fans. I think the best part about this show is that I get to talk and hang out with the fans after, and in between get to answer some questions. And I think I have to keep reminding everyone that I before I'm a head coach and before I was a former player, I was always a BYU fan. And that's who I am deep down inside. So this is being able to live this dream. And can you imagine, I get to play football for the legend Lavelle, and then I get to be the head coach. And so it's something that I don't take for granted, and I'm going to cherish every moment that I have as the head coach here.
And one of the best things about this show is a part that no one gets to see, because it's during those commercial breaks that we just kind of talk and you take questions, and I learn a lot too. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. So if anybody wants to come here and be part of the live audience.
One of the reasons to come, yeah.
It is. And absolutely. And if you come on the right days, they even feed you here. So, you know, if you get lucky.
Second year in the Big 12 for BYU. What would some lessons be that you say you and the program learned from year one of Big 12 football?
Well, I think it's just the experience altogether. We knew that it was going to be uncharted territory for a lot of people, and specifically the players. And now they know what to expect. I think it was some tough lessons learned, and we went through some adversity, and we had to make some adjustments along the way, and then we had to double down on things that we knew that we were doing right, and one of them being the culture and what we can build basically our talent that we already have, the foundation that we've already set. And so we went forward with that, and I think it's worked out really, really nicely. I know a lot of people haven't been able to see us play, but we're looking forward to showing it on Saturday. And I think we have a lot of talent and a lot of guys that have been through the experience, but more than anything, these guys worked really hard in the offseason. I know everybody says that all the time. I've never seen anything like this. It's going in my ninth year, and I've been a coach for a long time. I've never seen the effort and the energy that went into this offseason by a team. And so I'm hoping that it will show on the field. I think it will. It's been great all camp, and we've had some great leaders stick around and want to be here, even though they've had opportunities to go other places for more money. They stayed here for the right reasons. We get one of them here tonight as a guest. Mm-hmm. And guys that are here for the right reasons, that's why I want to coach you. I just want to be around these people and around these players, and I think they're going to represent really well when it comes Saturday night.
What do you think led to that sense of motivation and focus and doubling down that you've been witnessing in the offseason?
I think you just go through the experience altogether. I think you've been around me when I said it's like having children, right? When you're young and you're newly married, you think you have all these. I had all these opinions on things. I think one of them was like a movie theater. I'm like, why are people bringing their kids into movie theaters? I remember thinking that. And I keep thinking to my wife, when we're parents, we're going to do things so differently. No, we're about the same, but we just had to kind of go through it. And you could read all the books you want. You could try to figure it out. And once you get that experience, you get that taste of what it's like, now you have to adjust and get to the second year. But now you know what it's like to be a parent. You know what it's like to be in the Big 12. You have that experience, and now you have something to fall back on. And then you kind of get some connections with others that are gone through it the same with you. And then you know how to kind of go with it. And then by the time you're an expert when you have your other. I mean, I remember sterilizing everything with our first child, and I'm sorry for my other children that came afterwards, but it just got to the point where, like, nope, I'm just going to put this in my mouth, clean it, and put it right back into my daughter's mouth, and she'll be fine, and no one will ever know. But, I mean, you just kind of get some things that I don't think the books can get you ready for it as much as the experience. Luckily, we have wonderful people around us that have great support for our team and our players. And we can always lean on that. The one thing that we knew we can count on was that our fan base is amazing, and they are big time. They've been Power Conference from the very beginning, even before I was born. They were always a Power Conference fan base. We knew we can count on that, whether we're on the road or at home. And now we're looking forward to entertaining them and giving them what they deserve.
The fan base and everyone else are waiting to see who will take the first snaps at quarterback on Saturday night. You've decided to keep that close to the vest until game day. Southern Illinois is doing the same thing on their end. Your thoughts on why that was the right plan for this year and this year's team?
Yeah, I think maybe a lot of people are trying to read into it too much. It's nothing to be disrespectful with. It's I think we have an idea what we want to do. We want to show our hand, and I think SIU is doing the same thing. But I have a lot of respect for their program, and so anytime you can, you don't have to give up the details. You shouldn't, you know. And so I think in other times we felt good about. I feel good about our entire team and the skill that we have on our team, the talent that we have. And so I think that you'll find out when we get to the game. And but it's nothing to try to. I'm not trying to be sneaky or anything like that, but we have good players. The reason why isn't because we don't trust them. We trust a lot of our guys, and we're just trying to do exactly what the other team's doing, and then we have other opponents that are down the road. But the focus is to get this win. This team is dangerous. They've had, in the last 2 years, they've beaten FBS opponents. And so we're not going to take them lightly. We this is how we are every week. And it just happens to be the first opponent. And so that, I mean, last year they beat Northern Illinois, and the year before they beat Northwestern. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if those guys took them lightly, but I know we'd be fools if we did. And so we're not going to do that. We're going to respect them. But we plan on them giving us their best, and we plan on giving them our best as well.
This opener Saturday night, by the way, kicks off BYU's 100th season of football. You get to be a part of it.
Yeah, I can't believe it, man. It's a dream come true, and I'm excited to be part of this program and to see all some of the cool things I've seen as 8 years of the head coaching going into my ninth year. And just to be able to reflect on the time that I played when you were here. I mean, we're getting old, but this is kind of cool that we're part of history and part of something special. And that's the being part of the BYU family.
It all starts on Saturday night, season 100 in year number 102. And it's the 2024 season. It was a tough finish for last year, but it was a season with plenty of highlights. We've gone through the archives to select five of our favorite plays from BYU victories from last year. Let's check out these highlights, 2023 highlights, presented by Waystar. Play number five was one of two Chase Roberts plays we're going to see. And this was against Cincinnati, a memorable touchdown catch because it may or may not have been going to Chase, but he was the guy that ended up with the ball in his hands and took it into the end zone for a 59-yard score.
Well, I mean, if there's any question, just throw it up to Chase, and it should work out.
We're going to stay in the same game, and our guest tonight, Jacob Robinson, put BYU on the board with a 42-yard, well, there's another look at the Chase Roberts catch. Here's the Jacob Robinson 42-yard pick six from that Cincinnati game, one of our highlight plays from last year, and Jacob will be reliving that play with us tonight as well.
Love coaching this kid. He's a stud. I'm so excited about this year for him.
He's now sitting at 8 career INTs and that pick six from last season. All right, play number three, we go to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Kind of the emergence of L.J. Martin. This was a 45-yard touchdown run that helped you guys settle in at Fayetteville.
Yeah, true freshman. I think it's going to be exciting to see him play this Saturday, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But I think now this is him trying to learn the playbook. Now he's a veteran. He understands it. He knows the plays. He knows where to be. And I think it's gonna be even better for him this year.
And he's good to go for game one, yes?
Yes, he is.
That's great to hear. All right, play number two. This is Darius Lassiter. Not a scoring catch, but one of the best catches you're ever going to see. That's people were bringing up the name of Odell Beckham when they looked at that catch from Darius Lassiter last year.
Well, he does this in practice too. So, I mean, we have a lot of receivers that do crazy catches, and they're great. They can track the ball in the air, but I mean, I like the old-fashioned two-hand catch, take it to the end zone. But if we need to,
well, I hate to disappoint you because our final play we're going to see is going to be another one-hander.
Yeah, I had a feeling. But like, this is when a quarterback doesn't throw it spot on. These guys can go make the catches, and they actually practice the acrobatic catches often with Coach Fessy.
And number one, as we're going to flip back to Fayetteville, Arkansas, it's the game winner. And it's Chase Roberts again.
Yeah, one hand again, in the back of the back end zone. I think that was one of the first highlights, right? That just throw it up to him and he'll figure out a way.
So there we go. Five grip. By the way, honorable mention, there was a play in this same game. Parker Kingston, a wide receiver, threw to Deion Smith for a touchdown in that game as well. It was a really nifty play. That almost made our cut as well.
Yeah, another freshman that played last year for us. And looking forward to seeing some of the things they can do on the field, on offense, and special teams.
Well, the 2024 BYU football season kicks off in 5 days against Southern Illinois here in Provo. Then it's back-to-back away games, then it's Big 12 play, including a pair of bye weeks. Let's take a gander at the season slate presented by Smarty. And I guess the news there of that is there are two bye weeks for your team this year.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, it's two bye weeks for everybody, but you get to space it out a little bit and have a couple of breaks.
That works out, but I kind of like football every week, BYU football every week, but that's okay. We'll just have to deal with it and try to rest up and make sure that our guys are ready to go. But it allows our sports scientists and our coaches to kind of plan ahead and where we can kind of get these guys to peak at the right moment and then to regain ourselves and restructure and get ready to go again from square one.
You notice some numbers next to some names on that schedule. Five Big 12 teams in the preseason AP Top 25 poll, and you get four of those five at your place.
Yeah, and it's great to have them here in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and our fans are going to be rocking, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it'll be a good advantage for us, but the entire schedule I'm excited about. I know that for us, there's some difficult games out there, but all 12 of them, we want to make sure we play at our best. And you mentioned last year that we didn't end up the way we wanted, but we did some really cool things as well. And if you're looking at the record, we know we can improve on there. If you want to be nitpicky about it, we're just a few plays from turning that whole thing around. So a lot of the guys come back. They're more talented. They're bigger, stronger, and faster. So I imagine that the product should be a lot better this year and should work out in our favor. But the game's different. You have to respect your opponents. I just know that our guys are ready for this, and we're excited. And we've seen a lot of improvement in the last eight to 9 months.
A lot of football between now and the end of the season, and you're only worried about Saturday. But this is the first year of a 12-team playoff in college football. It's another new era in college football. How much do you hope that becomes a true motivator for not just your program, but all these other programs as they now search for something new at the end of the season?
Well, I think in the independent era, it was always about how you play. You had to win style points. You wanted to find a way to get into the playoffs or play in a New Year's Six game. And that was always weighing on people. So, like, when you played and lost an early one, it was kind of difficult to regather it and get everyone focused on trying to get to a bowl game. And now the path to the championship's a lot easier now. It's never been so clear and so attainable, which is win the conference and get in the playoffs. And so when you bring it down to that, the games in the conference game matter a lot more than anything. And if you do well in the conference play, you're going to find yourself in the conference championship and win that thing, and you're in the playoffs. That's pretty much a guarantee for us. And we've never really had it that clear for us. So that the path is set, time is ready to roll, and we're going into our second year. It's going to be an exciting time for us.
And we start rolling Saturday. First ever meeting between the Cougars and the Salukis of Southern Illinois. SIU, you mentioned the wins over the FBS. In fact, they're 3-2 in their last five games against FBS opponents. Preseason coaches poll in the FCS, they're number 11. They finished top 10 to end last year. They finished in the FCS top 10 in a ton of defensive categories especially. That's where they were at their best last year, one of the best defensive teams in all of FCS.
Well-coached team. The coach, Nick Hill, does a great job. He's coaching at his alma mater, so he has a lot of pride for his school, too.
And you know what that's like?
Yeah, I know exactly what that's like. He's going into his ninth year, so.
Just like you?
Yep, so I know that he's got a lot of experience as a coach, and he's had some great success on the field. He's gone to the playoffs, and in the FCS level, they're ranked. They're considered a powerhouse, and they play in a difficult conference where they're playing North Dakota State and South Dakota State, and they make it to the playoffs in that conference. So they're a tough team. I mean, you said the last 2 years they've had success beating FBS opponents. So we're not taking them lightly. We only have 12 guaranteed opportunities to play, so we can't squander one opportunity in this. We know what they're about, and we got to make sure that we're at our best this weekend.
Interesting connection to their program. Their last trip to Utah came in the spring FCS playoffs of 2021. They played at Weber State, which was coached by Jay Hill.
Yeah, so Jay Hill has the film, and I know he's excited about this game too, because that didn't work out in their favor. But I think Weber jumped out to an early lead, and the Salukis don't give up. They just keep playing hard, and they find ways to make plays, and they find success. And we just got to make sure that doesn't happen on Saturday.
People would say they're dogs, and they are dogs,
yeah.
Actually.
So yeah.
As we break, this is your reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, season premiere of our highly acclaimed Deep Blue series. Tonight, it'll be with Tyler Batty. Get to know Tyler a little better. Then we'll get defensive with corner Jacob Robinson as he joins the show. When BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Back with more.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Waystar. And Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics, in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport.
And and welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Well, it is our season debut, so also our first chance to profile one of the Cougs with our Deep Blue series. And Tyler Batty always had a goal to be an NFL football player, but an accident one morning almost derailed that goal. Despite doctors telling him his football career was done, Tyler certainly was not. Tonight, the season premiere of Deep Blue with Tyler Batty.
BYU football right now would not be as tough, would not be as tenacious without Tyler Batty.
Look at the 17, guess who? Number 92 again, Tyler Batty.
As young as he could remember, he wanted to play in the NFL. Some kids maybe have a different path, but that he knew it. And he wasn't going to let anyone stop that from happening.
He was so determined. Go early, stay late. Stay in the gym longer, pump more weights longer. Bring his other buddies in with him. And say, come on, we can do this together. We can make a better football team here. We can do better.
Tyler's responsibilities around the farm was everything that we could possibly have him to, because he was so big. He looked older than he was. People expected more out of him. And so he did everything around here that he had time with his football.
About half a mile down the road from our house, we had pasture for the horses and 20 some odd acres of hay that we raised alfalfa on. We used hand lines, so essentially think big metal sprinkler pipes that have to be picked up and moved by hand every 12 hours. So 5 a.m., 5 p.m., the water had to be changed. So part of my duties as I got older was to go change the water on the hay.
He was diligent. He would get up early in the morning to make sure he got his chores done, especially the irrigation for the farm. And he'd be up before it was light. And he'd be down there changing water because he always wanted to be at football practice early.
Just kind of a typical morning. The sun's coming up over the mountains. It quite hasn't lit everything up, but the fields kind of in the meadow to the right is all lit up. And so as I'm riding, I just look out. And that's the last thing I remember.
I just waited at the house for him, but he never came. And the first knock at our door was a neighbor who was a sheriff and said, your boy's been injured and he won't let anyone get anywhere near him. Would you please come?
Essentially, I crashed the four-wheeler, right? So it's down a little embankment. I was all cut up and bloody, barbed wire. So like, not only is my head bleeding, my shoulders are bleeding from the fence. And so I'm just kind of a bloody mess at this point. And a jogger is coming up the road. They find me trying to push the four-wheeler back up.
Tyler has a very hard head. And to prove that, he took out a cedar post with his head. And cedar posts don't move. So when they got him down to Payson, they immediately saw that they could not take care of his needs. And so they called Lifelight in and flew him to Primary Children's.
He had a skull fracture and an orbital fracture. And he had a broken bone outside of his eye, inside of his nose. On the report, there were 6 or 7 facial fractures. And he had obviously a contusion with a brain bleed.
Situations my parents were presented was, he has a brain bleed, the bleeding's not stopping, but we can't operate to relieve the pressure. If the bleeding doesn't stop, he'll become brain dead.
The stress of him having injuries like that is indescribable. I don't have words to tell you what I felt at that moment.
Lane and I have a lot of faith in a higher being that he was in charge. And that however it turned out, it'd be okay. And very much a miracle, it turned out way good.
It was at that 24, 36 hour point that they were like, all right, situation's changed. The bleeding has stopped. We don't know why. There's a good chance of recovery.
We probably didn't see all of the stress on Tyler on his recovery. But the little I did see, it was a daily thing. It was probably an hourly thing. was something that he just couldn't wait. Time couldn't pass fast enough to get back to his dreams and back to work.
You know, as they were kind of releasing me from the hospital and we're going through, you know, the initial rehab portion and the recovery, the doctor mentioned that if you sustain another severe traumatic brain injury or even, right, a concussion, anything along those lines, there's a good chance that you will do enough damage that it will leave you brain dead. You should not be playing football. Like, football should be the last thing on your mind. When for me, it was like, that's the first thing on my mind. That's what I want to do. Like, I was super bummed out about missing my freshman season, right?
He'd say, as soon as I get back to football, as soon as I get back to football practice. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you may never play again.
There was no, like, second thoughts for me. It was just like, I want to play football. Like, that's all I've wanted to do my entire life. I just want to play football. So, like, let me play football.
He was so determined. And it was that winter, as he's healing and starting to play some other sports, he looked at me one day and he said, I am playing at a D1 school, Mom. You watch. And I'm thinking, honey, you and a million other boys have the same dream. I was trying not to discourage him, but I thought, oh, how's he going to do this?
Batty's the guy that if you tell him that you can't do something, he's going to find a way to do it.
He's got a natural knack at just sticking to it. He just keeps fighting, keeps clawing, keeps digging.
I don't know if it's stubborn as much as it is just his will to do things and his commitment to get it done. But he's not shy to work hard. You can always count on him to be one of the hardest working guys on the team.
There are plenty of games that I can remember that they totally won and he was not happy because he did not live up to the standard that he set for himself in that game. It's not just about winning or losing. He also needs to feel like he carried his own weight for the team, and I think he takes that very seriously, especially as a leader and a captain.
He knew what he wanted, and he's going in the direction that he has always wanted, and thank goodness he's able to.
When I reflect on that, of the possibility of not being where I am today, it would have sucked having to watch football from the sidelines for the rest of my life. That gets me in my feels a little bit, just because I freaking love football, and it's like done so much for me and my family, and I'm super grateful for the game. Super grateful for the game.
Inspiring story. He's a really big guy. He's got a really big heart. I've gotten to know Tyler a little bit over the years, and as tenacious and fierce as he is on the field, he's as gentle off the field. Again, compassionate, has a lot of great things going on in his life to help a lot of different people. You must really love coaching him.
I do. And it's the, he put the NFL on hold. He knew that, I mean, you heard him talking about playing in the NFL. He put his biggest goal in life and as far as athletically on hold so he can be here another year. I think everybody thought that he was going to go to the NFL, and even a lot of NFL personnel and teams thought that he was going to come out that last year, and he just has unfinished business, and he has a plan, and so he's the guy leading our team. He's one of our captains, and he's one of many that I'm lucky I get to coach guys like that, and so and he's gonna get what he deserves this year. It's gonna be a lot of fun because he's just, like I said earlier, he's got this will to make it happen, and I'm excited to coach him.
Knowing you're going into 2024 with him on your team is just a big boost already.
Yep.
All right, yesterday, BYU announced the membership of its leadership group for the 2024 season, as voted on by the team's players. There were four captains, four permanent ones at least, two offensive and two defensive. One of the two defensive representatives we just learned about in Deep Blue. The other is our special in-studio guest tonight. Please welcome back to Studio C, BYU defensive back and team captain, Jacob Robinson.
Thanks for coming. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Jacob.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
What are you sporting there? What T-shirt is that?
This is Wooden Grill. Yeah, a little NIL thing. So
I love it.
Yeah.
That's pretty fierce.
Yes, sir.
Very nice.
I think it's Micah Harper on the front, so.
A skeleton version. Is that a skull in there? Oh, my gosh. That is
kind of scary.
It's kind of Micah Harper. Let's start with what I just mentioned. You're voted a team captain by your teammates. What does that mean to you?
I'm so blessed just to be out here with all my teammates. Super close to everyone. I feel like this is our closest team we've had since I've been here. I think it's just fun to be able to lead them and go out there.
How proud are you of Jacob?
I'm super proud. This is a he's a great young man, and I love that I get to bounce ideas off of him. He's super quiet. He doesn't talk a lot. And in fact, I remember telling you that this is exciting because it's media day. We're going to hear more from Jacob this day than we've heard for the last 4 years. But he doesn't talk. But he doesn't talk often. But I always see him in conversations with individuals, and he doesn't really care to be up in on a soapbox, but I see him working his relationship with everybody individually. He has that connection to just not only just the coaches and players, but support staff and anybody in the building. And so he's a special young man. I know he comes from a wonderful family, and so we're lucky to have him, but I love the person that he is. I love that he plays great football, but man, he's such a great person that I consider him a good friend of mine. Mm.
Very cool. And you went to Orem High School locally. How do you describe your playing journey to this point in your career?
I feel like I've always been undersized. That was definitely my biggest thing growing up. So it just pushed me to try harder, work harder, just make sure that I'm on the field trying to get more work than everyone else around me. So
you didn't start your career at BYU, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you start your college career?
I was at Utah State for a year. So
yeah, you were aware of him. A lot of people were aware of him.
Yeah. We were recruiting him, and I think that some of the coaches were concerned about his size and wanted him to gain weight and possibly gray shirt. And he wanted to play right away. And so I think his goal was to go and play as a freshman. And he made the move to go to Utah State. And it was kind of like, guys, are we going to regret this, you know? And it just things worked out where he was able to get in the portal and we were able to get him back here. And we were wrong, even though he was a little bit smaller. I mean, there's six scouts that were at practice today, and he was one of the guys that they wanted to see in person, and they thought his size was perfect for the NFL. And I mean, he worked on it. You can't see it because his shirt's hiding the guns, but he's got some good muscle mass on him, and I think he's on his way to the next level. But we're excited about what he's going to do for us in our defense, and I mean, he's a special talent.
2023 Big 12 honorable mention postseason. In 2024, Athlon Big 12 third team, Phil Steele Magazine Big 12 third team. So the attention's coming. Do you give yourself time to pat yourself on the back and say, oh, I'm being noticed? Or do you shut all that out and just say, if I do my job, you know, what's good will come to me?
Yeah, I mean, I just try to block out all of that. At the end of the day, I'm just going out to play football and play my best. So, yeah, I just try to block it out, try not to be on Twitter too much, try not to be, yeah.
Okay.
Into that, so.
Personal expectations for 2024, what might some of them be for you?
Just always progress, just trying to get more picks, more tackles every year. So, yeah, just I had four last year, so maybe five is good for me, but okay. I would want more. So,
you said this is maybe the closest team. Why do you think it's turned out to be that way from what you can see of this year's group?
We've definitely had more time together. The coaches have been really good at letting us go out. Like, we'd had a camping trip. It was really fun.
Camp during camp.
Yeah, during camp.
Yeah.
But, we took the corners out to play paintball, so that was pretty fun, too.
I see some of the social media stuff. The camping trip is one of the things. Do some river stuff. How important is it to have those moments off the field with guys you may not be – maybe it's offense, defense, they don't normally always hang out, those kinds of moments for the team?
I mean, it's good because we just see each other play football every day, so it's good to get out, and I might not see them around town, so it's just good to – force us to get out and just be around each other, and then you realize that everyone is just like you and you all can be friends. So,
Kalani, what's your report on the camping trip?
I mean, I'm not a camper, and I don't know if a lot of our guys are campers, but the cool thing is that we're in Heber Valley camp and you don't get a lot of reception there, so they put the phones down. And anytime we can have moments where we put the phone down, a lot of these guys will hang out together. I mean, this team golfed a lot together, and people say, why do you care about golf? What do you do for 4 hours? You put your phone down and you sit there and critique each other's swings, but you actually talk and you hang out. And these guys have really expressed interest in each other's lives And then the other part of it is that they serve together. They go and serve the community. They serve people that are in need, and they care about others. And so, you know, they went through some adversity together as well, where there's a lot of people that are questioning them and doubting them. And so you got great leaders like Jacob and Batty and others that want to come back and prove some people right more than prove people wrong.
Very good. And we're visiting with Jacob Robinson. When we come back, we're going to play Picking Picks with Jacob when BYU Football with Kalani Sitake continues. Come back with us. This is BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, presented by Intermountain Health. Great to have you all back. All right, Jacob Robinson is with us tonight. And in your BYU career, you've recorded 8 interceptions. But not all interceptions are created equal, which is why tonight we are playing Pickin' Picks. Roll it. All right, there's Jacob, and we are Pickin' Picks. Here's the deal. We are going to show you, with a little bit of description, all 8 of your career interceptions, okay? And we're going to show them all to you just in order, not sequential order, but we've just got 8. And your job is to rank them after you see it. So after you see the first one, you got to rank it. It can be 1, it can be 8, it can be somewhere in the middle, but you got to know what's coming. Like, you got to know, okay, if there's that one, then I got some other ones left that I like more. So you got to rank them without seeing them all, which is tough. I think it's tough. Here we go. Pick number 1. is your first career pick, and it came against your old team, Utah State, in 2021. BYU's up 14, late fourth quarter, last chance for the Aggies to stay in the game, and there's the pick. Your first as a Cougar, BYU won the game 34-20. So that is pick 1. Where do you rank it among your 8 career interceptions?
Let's rank it number 8. That was probably my easiest one.
Oh, okay. So it's at the bottom already. Yeah. So nowhere to go but up here. So that's at the bottom. We're going to put the Utah State pick as number 8 because it was the easiest, he says. Okay, so that's going to slide into number 8 at some point here. So we're going to say Utah State 2021 is pick number 8 or rank 8. Okay, we're going to put that at 8, and we're going to go to pick number 2 for you. We'll see it ranked in a minute. The second pick, just from last year, Texas Tech. Second quarter, BYU's up 24-7. This is the final play of the first half. Were you thinking about housing it here? Because it's the last play.
Kind of.
But then now.
My dad always tells me to go out of bounds if you don't have anywhere else to go, just to keep myself healthy. But so, yeah.
You see the clock. 3, 2. So the half's going to end, and it does that way. But that's where do you rank that one?
Let's go with number 4.
We'll put that 4th. Texas Tech 2023 goes in the 4 spot, okay? We're going to show you your 3rd pick, or a 3rd pick, and it's one in a 2-pick game for you. Georgia Southern 2021, late 3rd quarter, BYU's nursing a 10-point lead. BYU did win the game 34-17. That was your first of 2 in that game. It's at Georgia Southern in 2021.
Let's see. Let's go with number 7.
Put that one 7.
Yep.
So Georgia Southern 2021, first of 2 in that game, goes 7th. Okay. The next pick we're going to see came last year. Season opener, Sam Houston. This was huge. This is early 3rd quarter. That's 2nd and goal from the 6. And you're up 7-0. So looking to tie the game here. And you elevate. I love this one, by the way. This is one of my favorites. So where does that one go?
I feel like I got to save some space for number 1, so I'll go number 2.
Okay, we'll put that 2nd. And by the way, that was a 2-pick game for you, too. Yeah. You had 2 in the Sam Houston game. All right, the 5th pick we're going to see is your 2nd pick from the Georgia Southern game in 2021. Early 4th quarter, still up 10. And this helps to see. I love this one, too. Oh, man. You're on top of a teammate and control before you go out. That's a great one. So, 2nd of 2 picks in that game at Georgia Southern. That was fun. Where would you – I want to see it one more time, though. I do want to see this. Look at that. That's what they call ball skills. So where do you put that one? Could that be number 1?
Let's go number 3.
It's 3. Okay. Yeah. He's got something in mind here for number 1. Okay. We are going to a 6th interception here. That was going 3rd, right? The Georgia Southern one? Okay. 6th one. It's last year. It's Cincinnati. It's a scoreless game. First Cincy drive. This is how BYU scores its first points of the game. It's pick 6 in a game you win 35-27. Again, that was Cincy's first drive of the game. And I think that was BYU's Big 12 home opener, right? Mm-hmm. So the first point scored at Lavelle Edwards Stadium for a Big 12 BYU team was by Jacob Robinson on this pick six. Nice. Where does this one go?
I'd probably put it above the Texas Tech one, but I'll go number five.
We'll put that one five. Yeah. The pick six goes fifth. Okay, we have only two left. The seventh one we're going to see is his second pick against Sam Houston last year. BYU's up 7-0. This is the second consecutive drive that ends with a Jacob pick. That's a game BYU wins 14-0. So this was tight throughout, so these were huge plays. And again, back-to-back drives where you make the diving stab. How about this one?
I mean, a lot of people thought I dropped it, but I know that it's on my stat sheet, so I'm going to put number one.
Number one, okay. Yeah. That's number one, and that leaves us one left, and it came against Utah Tech in 2022. It was senior day. It was just before halftime. BYU's up at only 21-20, and this interception would end a drive and set BYU up to score before halftime. They went up 28-20 and then won 52-26. We have nowhere else to put it but one slot, but that was against Utah Tech in 2022, and it's going to have to go.
Number six.
We pick six for this one. It's not a pick six, but we pick six. All right, there we go. Those are Jacob Robinson's eight career interceptions. And if you have your way, we'll have at least five more of them to catalog next
five
year.
Five plus.
All right.
So ranked in difficulty. You notice that? The easy ones are on the bottom.
Yeah, so there were some really nice ones to pick from there, too.
Eight more this year.
Double it. There we go. Very good. After this break, we'll have Q&A for the coach and Jacob and some BYU football trivia when BYU football with Kalani Sitake returns on BYU TV.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Smarty, address data wizards. And Ken Garf, we hear you.
Welcome back to BYU football, Kalani Sitake. Let's head to our studio audience for our first Q&A segment of the season presented by Ken Garf, we hear you. And a special studio audience member tonight, very, very, very special because he's a friend of ours from basketball season. Ladies and gentlemen, BYU hoopster Trey Stewart is with us tonight.
All right,
Trey.
The
floor is yours.
All right, I got a little two-part question. So first one for Kalani. If you could make a starting five out of all the football players on the football team, who would you pick?
Oh, man. I don't want to get a lot of people mad at me, but
that's what we do.
I got to be in there to set a pick. I'm really good at setting picks, fullbacks. But, no, I think you got to go with some height. I mean, I don't know.
I need a starting five. I need point guard, shooting guard. You need to give me people, names, position.
I mean, I don't
know. Put Brandon Keim at the five.
Keim's got to be there as a five. He's a 6'9". Mm-hmm. The four would be – I have a feeling we're not going to score a lot of points, though. So the four, I mean, Batty would be a good four. Just a
– I've never seen him play basketball.
No, he just has to work the high-low and and, you know, body people up.
He might foul out.
Yeah, and then the three, I think, got to be skill guys. So he's got to put some – I know who can talk a lot. Keelan Marion and Darius Laster will be good talkers there. So maybe they'll be in there, but someone's got to shoot and score. Who's the point
guard? I'd probably put Jake Retzloff at the one.
Oh, we'll Connor Pay would be the four because he's got a sweet shot. And he played at Lone Peak, so you know he's coached well. Mm-hmm. So he can definitely work the high-low.
And you're the sixth man to set picks, apparently.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
I'm going to use the five fouls.
All right, what about if you could take any basketball player on our current roster and put them on the football team?
Take all you guys, man.
See, there you go. I was going to say Foose. You got to take
I'll take Foose.
Foose can be a good tight end, DN. You can come play some wide out.
I'll try a little.
Let's go. I'll talk to Coach Young.
Thank you, Trey. Next up, we have a gentleman by the name of Russell at the mic. Hello, Russell.
Hello. So I'm just curious how the changes in the rules that allow, like, in-helmet communication for the offense and defense, how that might affect the preparation before the play for both offense and defense.
Well, I think maybe we've been working with it, and I think sometimes you can, from I've seen other games, I think the coach will probably talk a little too much. And so we prep the guys and maybe give them quick reminders, but I don't know if it's going to make that much of a difference. Like, the key was to make it so we don't have to signal so much, but with only one person on the field that can have the helmet calm, it doesn't really give you that much of an advantage. So you still need a signal, still need to get plays going. We go all different tempos on offense, and then defensively everybody has to get the call. So the signals, we react to what the offense does. But we've been working with it, and we just hope that we don't overcoach them on game day. But we've been working with it. I think we'll be fine.
What's a player's perspective on this, Jacob?
We don't huddle on the defense, so I didn't even know we're doing it right now, so it's not that big for me.
Not that big a deal right now. Okay. Who's at the mic here?
It's my mom.
It's Jacob's mom.
My mom.
Thank you. I'm sure she has an easy question for you.
I have a question for you, Jacob. Who do you love more, your mom or your dad?
That's kind of a hard one. I mean, I'm going to have to go with you right now.
Very wise.
I love you too, Dad. Okay.
Well, have you told him to step out of bounds when there's nowhere to go?
She told me not to play football. Just
Thanks for that. And thanks for anything else for Jacob? You'll cover it later. Yeah. You're good?
Another question?
Do you have one?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah. Anything else? I think he had his number. All right. As we take another break, here's this week's BYU football trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. Question: at which school did Southern Illinois see its largest away attendance outside the state of Illinois? Because they play a bunch of games at Illinois, and they've had 70-plus thousand there. So outside Illinois, at which school did Southern Illinois see its largest away attendance for a single game? The answer is coming up next on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Football with Kalani Sitake. Here's tonight's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. At which school did Southern Illinois, this week's opponent, see its largest away attendance in a single game outside the state of Illinois? We ask that because they've played a number of games in Champaign at Illinois, and they've drawn 70,000 plus. But outside their home state, at which school did they see their largest away attendance? And the answer here is Ole Miss. Back in 2011, 58,504. BYU seats more than 62,000. So we could see a new outside of the state record for an SIU away game this weekend. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, let's set the record for them.
I know the excitement is there. I know the Rock is ready to roll, and the season ticket number is really large this year. This should be, maybe a record-setting season for BYU over the last decade or two at least. It seems like the emotions are really high to get into the building and cheer on your guys this year.
Yeah, and we felt the support from all our fans, and so we just want to get out there, and I just want to see Jacob make plays and get some picks and do his thing. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is BYU and SIU in the 2024 season opener. Let's take a look at the broadcast schedule for Saturday. We've got you covered on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The game itself will be on ESPN+. You see there at 8 o'clock Eastern, but at 6 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Mountain, on both BYU TV and BYU Radio, two-hour pregame shows. The game at 8 Eastern, 6 Mountain. Again, go to ESPN+, or hear it on BYU Radio, and then stay with us on both BYU TV and radio for postgame coverage well into the night. Well, BYU Athletics revealed their uniforms for the season. Here's a look at the first grouping uniform combo for Saturday. This graphic courtesy of at BYU Tracker on Twitter. And for the opener, BYU's going with the All Royals. Royal helmet, jersey, and pants with the white face mask. We're told they've never actually had this combination with a white face mask. And so that's the look. By the way, Jacob, when the uniform announcements came out for the year, what do you think of all the different combinations?
I mean, I like them all. I don't think there's a uniform I don't like. Just have to kind of pre-choose my drip before. So,
yeah. Are you trying? You trying to coordinate?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got you. Kalani, your thoughts on the?
Me too.
Yeah, always. So, always.
I'll get some advice from Jacob about my drip.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. I mean, once you found out what drip was, you were good to go.
Yeah, I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll figure it out together.
All right, we've got 30 seconds left to get a thought from you and a thought from you on kicking off this season finally here.
Just really excited for the game. It's here, game week, and just excited to see all the fans. And please come, and our guys will entertain you, I promise.
Jacob.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's been a long off season. We've been working hard, and we're just excited to show everyone what we can do and just play our hardest. So
let's go. Good luck to you both on Saturday night. Thank you all for being here. For Professor Hema, Michael Christensen.